having the real experiences beyond being called a Christian, you must understand how to function there. Christ is a place. So God wants a church that is in charge of the earth before he returns. In the last days, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. He says, your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. The day you got born again, you changed nationality. Yet you were sent as an officer. You were sent as an occupational troop to bring the government of that heavenly kingdom to build on the earth. Jesus, be thou glorified in this place. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Touch our lives, Lord. This morning we receive your word and we receive the manifestations of your spirit. Let no one return the same way that came. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I declare that burdens are lifted, yokes are destroyed, questions are answered. In the name of Jesus, in this first service, in the second service, on ground, online, I declare that they are workings of miracles. Thank you, Lord. We enjoy your presence this morning. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people shout amen. And God's people shout amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. The presence of the Lord is here. Amen. Are you glad you're in church this morning? You know, church is not a social club. Church is a congregation of the saints. Church is the assembly of the sanctified ones. Amen. That means every time we come to church, we are gathered unto a name. We are gathered unto a person. Amen. We are gathered unto a purpose. We are gathered unto an agenda. Glory to God. And he says, wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them, right? That means we can be rest assured of his presence. Hallelujah. And the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Hallelujah. There's freedom. There's lifting. There's strength. There's wisdom. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How hot is your expectation this morning? Are you ready to receive God's word? Are you ready to receive a touch from the Spirit of God? Hallelujah. God's precious anointing is here. Glory to God. God's great and precious anointing is here. Father, we love you. Father, we adore you. Can we just still worship him? Amen. Can we just still worship him? Just say something to him. You may be seated. You may be seated. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord.
Oh, how great thou art. How great thou art. How great you are. How great thou art.
Blessed Jesus, we love you. We adore you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We just love you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Those of you following online, praise the Lord. On across the various platforms, this is first service and you are welcome. Hallelujah. Amen. We journeyed very far last week to talking about the seven areas of self-leadership, right? We're talking about counting your cost. And by the way, what series are we taking? I can't hear you. Living a story worth telling. Okay, so we've been teaching on living a story worth telling. And it's been an amazing teaching. Today should be the third Sunday, I believe. Have you been inspired? Are you learning something from the teachings? Very important. I remember our opening statement was that life is not measured in years and in possessions. Life is measured in impact, in love and in impact. Okay, you remember that. Amen. I'm going to say in the final analysis, when we are to count how valuable your life was, is or was in this domain called earth, we don't look at what you have as possession, even though possessions are good as leverage. We check out what you did for love and the impact you made on other humans. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And we said, this is putting things in perspective. And we went further to talk about the five areas of our discussions. We broke down our discourse into five major areas. Number one, we said meeting your maker. Number two, I can't hear you. Finding your story. Number three, counting the cost. Number four, running your race. Number five, fighting with faith. So we began talking about meeting your maker as the foundation or the beginning of having a story on the earth. And we talked about the concept of divine destiny, that until you meet God, you really don't know why you were produced. Because no product has more idea about itself more than the manufacturer. Is that true? So was it real story or real destiny begins with a man's collision with his maker, with a man's encounter with the Christos, with a man meeting his maker. And we said, this is really what Christianity is. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is not the philosophy. Christianity is not a code of conduct. Christianity is a revelation and a relationship with a person. Glory to God. That means if you don't know Jesus and you are not in relationship with him, you are not a Christian. Glory to God. And if you don't know that is the foundation or what Christianity is about, you don't understand Christianity. Glory to God. And we said that revelation and relationship will open your eyes, will bring you, will help you begin your journey of living a story worth telling. Hallelujah. I would say many things in between. One father talk about finding your story. We give the basic things and we give the advanced things. Amen. We said basically have a walk with God. Basically find a place to add value. You remember that? I'm going to say it, as you are passionate about service, as you are passionate about adding value, purpose will find you. Glory to God. It's not by withdrawing and say I'm finding purpose, as though purpose is a destination. Purpose is a journey, not a destination. Glory to God. The destination is the destiny. Glory to God. That's the end of fulfilling your assignment on the earth. But there's a journey. And while you are serving, while you are adding value, it finds you. That means there's more clarity about what you are to do. Glory to God. I'm saying, to be more specific, when you want to get the fine details of your assignment on the earth, we went to talk about mounting. I will get me upon the tower to hear, to see what you will say to me. Glory to God. Talk about fasting and prayer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And staying in the word until the scripture starts reading you, so you can locate yourself in the word of God. Hallelujah. So last week we entered into counting the cost. Probably week before last. But we dealt extensively with counting the cost. We said your destiny will place a demand on you. And we clarified very clearly that the concept of counting the cost of destiny is not to remove the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus. Amen. But it's a call to take responsibility. And we drew our inspiration from the apostle of grace, Paul the apostle, who said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 10, that I am what I am by the grace of God. He said, yet I labor, and we say the Greek word that means to toil. It means to put effort until you're exhausted. He was the apostle of grace, but he said, I labor. That means he had the understanding of the demand of destiny upon him. Glory to God. So the concept of come to the cross and running your race is not to put aside what Jesus has done. It's a call to take responsibility. So Paul says, I am what I am by the grace of God, yet I labor more abundantly than they all. I put effort. I engaged effort until I was exhausted. Another word is toil. I toiled more than they all. But yet not I, the grace that worketh in me. So we said, when you are counting the cost, you must have the picture of grace. As you take responsibility for your destiny, you must have a picture of grace. That is what we rest on. Glory to God. To fulfill our destiny on the earth. And that is very important. So there's a balance between grace and labor. That means you labor, you toil, but you toil with the mindset of grace. You toil with the mindset of taking responsibility. You don't say, Jesus has done it all. You are lazing around. You are sleeping too much. You are, and you're not calling yourself to action. That is no longer grace. Glory to God. That is irresponsibility. I've taught you here that grace is both extravagant and responsible. Glory to God. That means in the name of trying to get people to take responsibility, you do not reduce the extravagance of God's grace. The extreme nature of God's grace. The grace of God is extreme. But on the other side, in an attempt to teach and to raise the people of grace or to reveal the extreme nature of grace, you don't become irresponsible in portraying. Listen. Can I drop this here? The gospel and the grace of God is too high and too precious to reduce it to sin management. Kai. Write it down. It's too big. Grace is fundamentally an empowerment. Glory to God. An empowerment, a supernatural empowerment that is unmerited. So that's the picture you must have. It's an empowerment. Hallelujah. So say the cost, the ultimate cost of your destiny is your life. Life. Destiny will make a demand on your life. Your destiny in God will make a demand on your life. That means it will cost you everything to fulfill your purpose. Okay? To be outstanding. To stand in that place that God has marked before the foundations of the earth for you to stand. It will cost you everything. We call that figurative death. Glory to God. Jesus said, except the corn of wheat. They came and told him, they said, some Greeks are here to see you. In St. John's Gospel chapter 12. And they said, they are here to see you. I believe it was Philip or Nathanael that met Jesus and told him that the Greeks are here to see you. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall to the ground and dies, it abides alone. But after it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So through that loss of control, through that absolute surrender, through that saying, Lord, you are in charge. You are completely in charge. You have the rule. You are not just my savior, you are my Lord. That means there's no area you cannot touch. I'm under the dominion of your word and under the leadership of your spirit. A life of loss of control. We said that's the beginning, right? And then number two, we said the cost of what? Yeah, check your notes now. The cost of self-governance or self-discipline. And we mentioned the seven areas of self-leadership. Number one, your mind. Number two, your what? Your emotions, which is your feeling system. Number three, your appetite, which is your desire system. Number four, your time or your day. You can write it this, your day, which is your time system. That's number four, right? Number five, Your money, or you can rephrase it, your finance, which is your money system. Okay. Number six, your tongue, which is your speaking system. And then number seven is not relationship. Replace it with your vision, which is your seeing system. Your vision. Amen. Your vision, which is your seeing system. So these are the seven areas of self-mastery, your seven areas of self-discipline, the seven areas of self-leadership. We said, you see, until you begin to invest in your personality, greatness is far. Until you begin to cultivate your personality, it will be very difficult to lead a story worth telling. Because listen, fulfilling your destiny on the earth is first of all about the character of your personality. It has nothing to do with the things on the outside. The character of your personality. It has nothing to do with the title that men call you. The character of your personality. It has nothing to do with the accolades that men accrue to you. The character of your personality is the foundation of living a story worth telling. Is the foundation of fulfilling your destiny. So you pay attention to who you are. You pay attention to cultivating your personality. You pay attention to fine-tuning the character of your personality. You pay attention to you. Paul would tell, is it Timothy? He said, take heed to yourself and tend to the flock which the Lord has committed to your hands. So even as a pastor, you take heed to yourself. Why? Because with who you are, you can do. With who you are, you can have. Glory to God. We are called human beings. Not human doings. We are called human beings, not human havings. That means it's about being something. Glory to God. Are you getting me this morning? It's about being something. It's about being something. Somebody said, don't wish it was easier. Wish you were better. Those are talk for successful people. He said, don't wish your path was easier. Wish you were better. Because every mountain is blastable. Glory to God. There's always a way to the other side. So wish you were better. When you begin to wish it was easier, you are creating a room to slow down. A room to give up. But when your focus is, if I can get better, I'll get to the other side. If I can, I'll grow where I am. Listen, money, fame, success comes to measure who you are now. I say that again. Money is a measure of value. Success is a measure of value. I told you last week that success is not something you pursue. Success is something you attract by who you are. Glory to God. So if the focus is on culturing your personality. If you're a lazy person, pay attention. Don't use prayer and fasting to cover it. If you are laid back, pay attention and do something about it. If you're a time waster, you are not paying attention to the management of your time, pay attention. If you waste money or not so skillful in managing your finances, pay attention and do something about it. If your thoughts are haywire, pay attention. Don't use something else to cover it. Are we together? As you cultivate your personality, new levels will come and measure you. What do you see? What are the pictures in your heart? How trained is your imagination? How trained is your mind in seeing pictures of the days to come? Or are the weight of the pictures of the past weighing you down? Hallelujah. Praise God. So very important. Very important. The Bible says, and Jotham became great because he prepared his ways before the Lord. So preparation, preparing yourself helps you position for greatness. Are we together? All right, so let's talk about running your race. Running your race. All right, so if you're not around last week, you can get the materials and listen to it. So we'll start on you. Running your race. Are you guys with me? Smile a little now. Amen, amen, amen. I know you're in the spirit. Smile, 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 smile. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come on, just laugh. Just laugh. Laugh, laugh. Hoo, hoo, hoo. He, he. Ha, ha, ha. Hoo, he, he. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Running your race. So after counting the cost, you run your race. Your race talks about celebrating your uniqueness and the discipline of focus. That's your race. The expression your race talks about your uniqueness. You are not everybody else. Our paths are different. Glory to God. See, when you come to the point of understanding that, look, everything I've been through, where I'm coming from, my background, the things that have happened to me are part of what is going to make the big story. You get out of competition. You get out of giraffing into somebody else's path. Listen, in the relay, everybody has a track. If you step into another person's path, even if you got to the end point first, do you know you'll be disqualified? Celebrating your uniqueness. There is your race. The Bible talks about running the race that is set before you. Paul was an apostle to the Gentiles. Peter was an apostle to the Jews. And I love what Paul said. Paul says, I am an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. Meaning I place value on what God has given me. He would have sat down thinking that, look, I am sent. Now, in case you don't know, when he says I'm an apostle to the Gentiles, he's saying I'm sent to the unclean. You should be something of shame in those days. Now, when you read the early church, you read the book of Acts, and you read the early church story, you understand the superiority of the Jewish mindset, number one. And you understand how that, even among early church fathers, really, they really did not accept that this gospel was for the Gentiles also. Because the Jews were raised to think that the Gentiles were unclean. You remember when Peter had a vision in Acts chapter 10? After the angel of the Lord had appeared to Cornelius and said, go and send for Peter. What did God have to do in the vision? To show him, he brought forth all manner of four-footed beasts and creepy things and said, kill and eat. He knew it was the Lord speaking. But to show you the strength of the mindset, he said, no, Lord. He knew it was the Lord. But he said, Lord, I'm not going to eat it. To show you the power of that conditioning as a Jew. He couldn't eat. He said, Lord, I cannot eat this. The Lord took it up and brought it down again. He said, kill and eat. He said, not so, Lord. Not so, Lord. Come on now. He believed he was the Lord. But the power of his training, the power of his culture, the power of how he was raised. He said, not so, Lord. He said, for this is unclean. And the Lord said, that which I have cleansed, don't call unclean. And this was the Lord preparing his mind so he can go to the house of Cornelius, a Gentile, to preach the gospel to him. You will think that after that had happened, Peter will be completely repentant. No. Peter was still uncomfortable in eating with the Gentiles when he saw that there were certain brethren who came from James, who was the pastor at Jerusalem, to show you how they saw the Gentiles. Glory to God. Should I shake tables a little? You know, some of these secular guys that talk that, oh, it's just Christians who don't like. We love the Jesus of the Christian, but we don't love the Christian. They are lying. They are lying. If they were in the days of Jesus, they would hate him more than they hate us. Listen, Jesus called the Syrophoenician woman dog. Can you be more racist than that? Let me shake table. Can you be more racist than that? He said, for it is not me to give the children's bread. He didn't just say to dogs. He said to their dogs. That. let me leave you there. Listen, oh. Stay with the Bible. Don't let people's interest in politicizing race give you an agenda. Don't let it. And it's the same thing for every social work. You are fighting for rape victim. You are fighting about racial injustice. Have a balance in the world. So you don't tilt to another extreme. Have a balance in the world. Glory to God. Have a balance. And so we love Jesus. You will hate him. You will hate him. Have a balance in the world. You can never go astray staying with God's word. It may not be popular. You may offend some people. But we have allegiance to one king. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus the Christ, Son of the living God. Praise God. How could, in this country, do you know how many people have been killed unjustly by police and military? in 1 year, I checked the record. There were over 4,000. That's how many years in the U.S. put together. You have not written anything. You are saying Black Lives Matter. In your backyard, you've not taken responsibility. You have no idea what you're saying. Glory to God. If you don't have anything to say, keep quiet. People are being killed in villages. Have you done writings? What have you done? What movement have you led? They say charity begins at home, right? Even the Bible says that you should be witnesses unto me first where in Jerusalem. Don't be part of an agenda you don't understand. Glory to God. Let me not shake for that tables. All right, so there's a race before you. There's a race before you. Run your race, your uniqueness. You are not your neighbor. You are not your best friend. There's the path that God... This is why we talk about finding your story. When you find your story and you count your cost, you run your race. You don't get distracted. I said running your race talks about... your race talks about the uniqueness of your assignment and the discipline of focus. There's a path that is set before you. Okay, I remember what I was talking about. Paul saying, I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. So the Jews called the Gentiles unclean. That means in that circle, saying I'm called to the Gentiles, in the mind of the Jew, is talking about a lower level of ministry. I don't know if you get that. They were saying in their mind that, look, you have a lower level of ministry. You are sent to the unclean. That's low level. But Paul says, I magnify my office. Meaning I focus on my race. He said, Paul, Peter was sent to the circumcision. I am sent to the uncircumcised. I magnify my office. I pay attention. I run my race. I focus on what God has committed to me. Listen, no matter what God has called you to do, it is precious. Convince yourself that God gave you the best. I tell myself that in ministry all the time, that God gave me the best. He sent me to be a pastor, a teacher, and then an apostle. He gave me the best. I don't envy people in itinerant ministry. I don't envy people traveling around. He gave me the best. I run my race. And in time, it will speak. Glory to God. Never wish you were someone else. Never wish you were born in another country. Never wish you were born in another family. That is lack of understanding of how God works. Run your race. Everything about you before now was part of the plan. That you were born in that village was part of the plan. That you were born in Ghana was part of the plan. That you were born in Nigeria was part of the plan. Make your story beautiful. Glory to God. Make your story beautiful. Don't look around. Run your race. Focus on your race. Focus and celebrate your uniqueness. And have the discipline of focus. It takes a whole lot of discipline to be focused. Listen to me. You see, to be valuable in any field, to be an expert, or to be someone that people can pay attention to in every field, you should have had consistent input in at least 10 years. And here is a generation of Instagram. Insta generation, where people are not patient to stick to what is in their heart until it produces results. Every calling is precious. God called you to a part in media is precious. If you can run your race and see to it and do what is required, a glory is going to come out of it. It may take time, yes. Be focused. Have the discipline of focus. Very soon you become the story that others will use to encourage other people. But you have to be focused. You have to believe in your unique calling. And you have to have the discipline of focus. Hallelujah. I'm an apostle to the Gentiles. I magnify my office. My skin is Negro. I magnify my office. I was born in Nigeria. That is to my advantage. The things that God has called me to do wouldn't have been possible if I was born elsewhere. That's the way you should think. Glory to God. I attended the University of Jos, not Yale. That's part of my story. Born to an average home. That's part of my story. My parents were civil servants. That's part of my story. Who had to wait for salary. Have they paid salary? That was part of my story. Glory to God. Never wish you were someone else. Run your race. What has God called you to do? What is your journey in the past? Leverage on it and make your story beautiful. Are we together? Are you learning something? Praise God forevermore. Amen. All right. In Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6, you can put it up for me. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6. Songs of Solomon chapter 1 verse 6 is in the Old Testament after Ecclesiastes. Verse 6. No, it's not love I'm talking about yet. Behold our fair, my beloved. All right, look not upon me because I'm black. He said, because the sun had looked upon me. He said, my mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards. But my own vineyard have I not kept. Keep your own vineyard. That's why I read that. Your vineyard, your garden talks about your destiny, talks about your story. Pay attention to it and keep your own vineyard. Keep your own vineyard. Don't look around. Keep your own vineyard. Don't wish you had something that someone else had or that someone else has. Be grateful for the little you have and sit down and get a vision from God and pursue that vision. Glory to God. The reason why some people are depressed is because they can't even see what they have. They can't even see what God has blessed them with. They can't even see what is in their own hand. They are busy looking around to see what is in the hand of another man that is being celebrated and forgetting what God has given them. Life operates by the principle of what is in thy hand. That means it is what is in your hand that you value that God will multiply. Mike Murdoch calls it the law of recognition. What is in your hand? You can write. What is in your hand? You speak excellently. What is in your hand? You can do calculations. What is in your hand? You can run small enterprises. What is in your hand? You are good with children. What is in your hand? When you speak, hearts burn. What is in your hand? You have the ability to organize things. What is in your hand? You can sing. What is in your hand? You can crack jokes. What is in your hand? Pay attention and maximize it. Give thanks to God for it. Hallelujah. Are you blessed this morning? So run your race. Running talks about the pursuit of your vision. The pursuit of your story. Listen. Strategy and taking action is at the root of the fulfillment of every destiny. There will never, everything we've been talking about for 2 weeks now, you will never fulfill your destiny at the scale at which God has predestined to fulfill it if you are not a man of planning, strategy, and execution. Strategy and execution. Running your race. Running your race. You don't walk with vision. You don't sit down with vision. You run with vision. What did the Lord tell Habakkuk after he waited and saw what the Lord spoke to him? He said, write the vision and make it plain that they may run that readeth it, not walk that readeth it. If you are not passionately on fire about that thing that you believe God has called you to do, maybe there is no clarity of vision yet. You may have to go back to the closet. Maybe you are not convinced yet. You may have to go back again and receive clarity and conviction. Every time you are not seeing yourself running, it means there's no clarity of vision. Clarity is a mother of speed. Clarity is an enhancer of speed. Clarity is a catalyst for speed. Imagine driving at night and your headlights are bad. You can't run 100. You can't run 120. You can't run 150. You may not even be able to run 80. Why? Vision. So, two ways. After you are assured of your path, run with it. Every day when we see you, you should be running. Are you listening? When we see your daily schedule, does it show a man and a woman who is running his race? Does it show a man and a woman who is running after something? Who is in the pursuit of vision? Or you are lax and relaxed? Run. You run with vision. You run with vision. You passionately pursue your story. You pursue your dreams. You pursue God's vision for your life. Planning. Plan your day. Plan your week. Again, when we're talking about counting the cost, talk about managing your time system. He said, teach us to schedule our day that we may incline our hearts unto wisdom. Teach us to schedule our day. Teach us to plan our days. Glory to God forevermore. When you see a man who is in passionate pursuit of purpose, you know. They are men and women of action. They are men and women of strategy. They are women, men and women of execution. I'll enroll for this PGD. It's 3 years now. You are not serious. Action is the switch of God's power. No action, no accomplishment. Action is the proof of faith. Do you really believe in that vision? Do you really believe in that dream? Do you really believe in that future? Your actions will tell us whether you are in faith for it or not. James says, show me your faith by your works. No, he said, I will show you my faith by my works. Meaning, I will show you my faith by my actions. Saying, my actions are the proof of my faith. Action. Be highly scheduled. And be highly engaged in the things that relate to your destiny, your visions, and your dream. I say this all the time. Make each day pay tribute to your vision, to your destiny. Run your race. Have a solid work ethic. Have a solid work ethic. They talk about work too. What is your attitude to work? Listen, your attitude to work is a revelation of your spirituality. Go and read your Bible. Your attitude to work is a revelation of your spirituality. You don't just do what you like. You do what is demanded. Glory to God. You don't do things when you feel like it. Actually, about mastering your feelings. You do things because they are demanded. What do? When all the feelings and excitement about that thing is gone. It's a revelation of your maturity. Are you going to stick with it and walk it through? Or you are waiting for the good feelings to come? You don't just do what you like. When I teach people on purpose, I don't tell them, okay, what do you like to do? That is elementary. You may like to sleep. And sleeping is not your purpose. Glory to God. It's not about doing what you like. You may like to play computer games. It may not be your purpose. Praise God. It's deeper than that. Amen. It's true now. You're telling a child, what do you like to do? And he says, Uncle, I like to sleep. I just enjoy sleeping. That's not his purpose. So have a strong work ethic. Have a strong work ethic. Work smartly. And in the arena of work, I teach people, move your mind before you move your body. So the work talks about brain work. Working your brain and then working your hand. Your brain will have to move first before your hands and your body move. I mean, your hand and your body moves. Move your mind. Move your mind. That is where real work is. Are you listening? That is where real work is. that mental effort, that mental energy. Pursue wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. I say that again. Pursue. It is work, to pursue wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. It is work. But it's a necessary requirement for your mind to be transformed and for your work to be productive. The Bible says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them. Why? They know not the way to the city. No strategic approach to their work. They lack wisdom. So when I talk about running your race, be passionate about wisdom. The Bible says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. With all your getting, get understanding. Be passionate about the transformation of your mind. Be passionate about working your mind. Oh, it's E.W. Kenyon that says, he said, make your brain sweat. Make it work. It to sweat. But you will soon be the envy of your world. Your brain operates like a muscle. I don't know who's the most gymed here. Who gyms here? Who's the most? Man of Steel is not around, so you can say. Who gyms here? I don't know who's gyms. Who has a gymed up muscle? Oh, now Victor is learning. Amen. Okay, just imagine who is your bodybuilder hero? Just mention the name. John Cena. Is it John Cena or John Cena? Pardon? John Cena. Okay, does he have muscles? Are you laughing at me? I don't know him. Okay. I don't know him. Okay. I don't know him. John Cena, right? All right. Do you know John Cena does not have extra muscles that Ima doesn't have? That is the reality. Put John Cena on one side. Put Emmanuel Benjamin on one side. John Cena's muscles are heavy. He can lift a human being, true? He cannot lift a human being. Amen. A fully developed human. An average adult, 70 kg. Amen. Except in the realm of the spirit. He's an intercessor, so he can lift them in prayer. You know the way you lift people up in prayer. But I'm talking about physically lifting a man. But Justina, or whatever his name is, can do that. John Cena. Okay, John Cena. My apologies, please. Amen. I've missed out a whole lot in that area. Amen. Hallelujah. But here is my point. John Cena has the same kind of muscles as Emmanuel. But what he did is he developed it over time. He was going to the gym consistently. The same thing with the brain. Nobody was born more intelligent than another. Nobody was born smarter than another. Nobody was born more clever or wiser than another. What we do in the process of time is developing the muscles of our brain. Some have entered the gym more than others. That is why they are smarter with their work. They are smarter with making money. They are smarter with making impact. Are you listening to me? And that is work. That is work. You try and sit down and read 50 pages of a principal book, not story book, oh, principal book. With data analysis. And see what will happen to your brain. Your brain will sweat. What most people do is, the moment it's getting foggy, you know, when you are reading things and they are taking you out of your boundaries. They are not talking Mama Yabo. They are not talking Refuge and Abuja. And then it's just taking you out. The first reaction is your mind is blocked. Now, what makes you a smart person is what you do afterwards. Are you going to drop it and go or stay there until your mind opens? That is work. That is part of running your race. There's a requisite body of knowledge required for the fulfillment of your destiny. And it will not come to you like ripe cherries off a tree. You will pursue it. Your brain will sweat. Except you want to remain average and a slave. Your brain will sweat. You want to put money in a business and you have not researched it. That money is likely going to go. It will go. Are you listening? He's going to go. There's a scripture I want us to read. Yes, Proverbs 23. Oh, hope this is it. No. Oh dear. Proverbs 24. Let me check. Put Proverbs 23:23 for me. No, that's not what I'm looking for. I don't know why it's not written here. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The cost of mental transformation. Oh dear. Proverbs 24. Give me Proverbs. Buy the truth and sell it not. Okay. Wisdom and instruction. Give me Proverbs 24. We have to read that scripture. Proverbs. Are you learning something this morning? Proverbs 24. Verse 2. Go down. I'm surprised I don't have this in my... That's it. He said, through wisdom, a house is built. Your destiny is like a house. It is through wisdom you build it. He said, by understanding, it is established. Next. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. So he's talking about wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. The three essentials. Wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. You will go after them as you run. It will help you plan. It will help you take action smartly. So this is why we talk about smart work and hard work. So really, hard work really is working smartly. Are we together? Not working like a fool. Working with understanding. Working with knowledge. Working with revelation. Working with insight, foresight, and hindsight. You are not just doing the work. Whatever your field, whatever is committed to your hand to do, you have knowledge, you have wisdom, you have understanding. You have New Living Translation. NLT of that verse 3. Put it up for me. NLT of that verse 3. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. NLT. Okay. Wisdom becomes strong. You see, a house is built by wisdom and becomes strong through good sense. Next verse. True knowledge, its rooms are filled with all sorts of precious and riches. Amplified. Oh, glory to God. And by knowledge, okay, look at this. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding it is established. On a sound and good foundation. Next verse. And by knowledge shall each chambers of every area be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Hallelujah. So labor in wisdom. Labor in understanding. Labor in obtaining relevant knowledge. Are you listening to me? Run your race. Run your race. So when you sit down and you are canceling books on finances, on real estate, because that is your area, you do it with the discipline of focus. Somebody say, why are you wasting your time? See, Jones now is now a millionaire. He was just online doing things. He's not your business. You don't know what he's doing online. You face your own race. Hallelujah. Praise God. So have a solid work ethic. A mentor of mine gave this definition of hard work and I like it. He said hard work is the extent that effort must go to exterminate obstacles, hindrances, and limitations for the accomplishment of one's dream. I say that again. Hard work is the extent that effort must go to exterminate obstacles, hindrances, and limitations for the accomplishment of one's dream. To what extent should your effort go? You know what he's saying? That means that you put in effort is not enough. To what extent must it go for you to exterminate the limitations before you? Don't say, oh, I've worked hard. No. Is it enough? Have you applied effort enough to overcome the current obstacle? If the answer is no, you have not worked hard. Are you getting this? Maybe you want to make 2 million naira in sales in a month. There will be obstacles. You made effort and you got 500,000 sales.
Have you worked hard for that month?
No.
So what extent should effort go? I tell people, you don't stop because you are tired. You stop when you are done. That's the difference between poor people and wealthy people. You don't stop because you are tired. You stop when you are done. What is the vision? What is the effort required? So not every effort is enough. Not every effort is classified as hard work. What is the effort required? To clear, to blast the obstacles, to remove the limitations. What effort is required? Glory to God. That you sow 500,000 doesn't mean you have worked hard. Because you have not reached the mark that was set. Hallelujah. Are you learning something? You drive yourself. You drive yourself to work. You drive your brain to sweat. You drive your hands to work. You work until you are exhausted and continue to work. This is a challenge this morning. Go beyond your limits. There's a place where you walk to before you are tired, you rest. What I'm saying is go beyond that. Because you don't know how far you can go until you stretch. Stretch. If you're reading one book per month before, make it two. If you're reading two, make it three. If you're reading three, make it four. Are you here? And someone says, where is the time? You have the time. Oh. Start tracking your time. You know you have the time. Do you know most of you pick up your phones at least 2,000 times a day? I'm sure you're surprised. Track it. You know, you pick up your phone at least 2,000 times a day. Do you hear what I say? 2,000. That's an average person. Hallelujah. To what extent must effort go? To what extent must effort go? To exterminate that hindrance and limitation. That is hard work. That is hard work. Are you satisfied with your current level of mental development? Have you arrived? What extent must effort go? What extent? I have a mentor who used to read 100 books per year. Conor Moyo, you know him. Amen. He has reduced it because there's more responsibilities. But as a younger man, you used to read 100 books. Amen. I used to read 60. About 60. Glory to God. The year I was impressed with myself was the year of house job, Pastor P. I was doing house job and maintaining a schedule of 4 books per month. Are you listening? To what extent? You know, I was reading, was it a Blaze for God? I was reading maybe the second time. I was a house officer almost 10 years ago. Somebody came, a doctor, you know, saying, he said, Dr. Ame, are you preparing for an exam? The way I see you read consistently. I say, yes, I'm preparing for an exam, live exams. I was not a pastor. How? You can't catch my backpack without a book. It's not possible. Are you, even as medical student, we'll be preparing for clinical. The next day, I'll have clinical exam the next day. I'll be reading, understanding the anointing. Because I already knew that my future is pulpit, not medicine. I'll be held accountable if I fail that one, than if I fail this one tomorrow. I'm telling you the truth, though. I don't plan to. It's just about, I'll be reading book. Off book. Glory to God. To what extent must effort go? To what extent? You say you are running NGO. Do you know the history of NGO? Do you know the standard operating procedure? You are just, listen, idea is common. Everybody can come up with idea. So please don't deceive yourself with, look at my idea books. I've been writing ideas. Just keep quiet. Sit down and calculate the cost and run the race. To what extent must effort go? To what extent must effort go? You are a barber. What is the history of clippers? You are a hairdresser. How knowledgeable are you? How can a governor's wife keep her hair for you to make? If the answer is no, to what extent must effort go? That means you need to work more. Amen. the personal photographer to the governor or to the president is also holding camera. Why are you not the one? To what extent must effort go? Don't say it's just lucky. That is a mantra of failures. Why you say he's just lucky? He's making 1 million every month as a photographer. I say he's just lucky. You are making 20,000. I say he's just lucky. That's pride. He's not lucky. There's something he knows you don't know. Just drop your pride and learn. I hate when people say those things. He's lucky. Why are you not the one who is lucky? Don't explain people's results away with lazy mindset. If anybody is ahead of you, try to know what they know. They may sound simple, but there are things they know. Are you listening? There may be your roommate in school, but there are things they know. Why wisdom is justified over our children. That means if a man is producing results, there is a wisdom that is at work. Don't just say he's lucky. That is a mantra of fools. Nobody is lucky. Success is a matter of luck. Ask any failure. That's what the wise man said. He said, they are just lucky. That young man. Somebody said our church was growing because I'm a doctor or something. I said, what is the connection? I just couldn't understand. It didn't make sense to me. I was on radio, on TV. Our church is going. We're planting churches. Doing big things in the city and in the region. Is it because looking for human way to explain supernatural results? One came and met me in this city. He said, apart from, he called one minister, I won't call him, apart from the man that is doing well, all of us from this state, we don't really do well in ministry. You see, it's like there's a trouble. It's like there's a problem. Should I change my location? That's what he's telling me. Now, should I change my location? A minister, we started ministry about the same time. Instead of him to ask, simple ask, how can I move this work? It was already 7 years he was doing the work. There were less than 10. And it's a pastoral work. And then he's saying, it's like man of God, it's like his location. In that conversation, he never said, man of God, can you tell me 3 secrets? Can you tell me 1 secret? There was no disposition of God. He was making an excuse that he's from one part of the country where it's as though there's courses working over doing ministry. Does it make sense? You're a minister. So what are you going to preach to people? If courses limit you, you don't have a gospel. No, what gospel are you? You don't have a gospel. Go and sit down somewhere and understand the gospel. Is that not hilarious? Hilarious. That's, I don't know, nobody in ministry does well from this part of the country. He's saying that he is a victim. That's why his work is not great. And then, like even his location, he's thinking about changing his location. What do I think? What do you think I should tell him? Should I tell him? What the real problem is? To what extent must effort go? You're a preacher, and we talk about Azusa Street revival, you don't know. We talk about Pensacola revival, you don't know. We talk about Irish revival, you don't know. We mention Moravian Fall, you are saying, what is that? Is that a country? You don't know. We say Archbishop Bidausa, I say, who was he? Was he a politician? You should be slapped. And you're a young minister. You should listen, write this down. You must be academic about your trade. Be academic about your trade. If you are an NGO, we should call you to lecture people. If you're a barber, we should be able to call you to lecture people. If you are into media, we should be able to call you to be academic about your trade. Be academic. You are into schools. You have passion for schools for children, nursery school, kindergarten. Be academic about your trade. Meaning research until you become an authority. Renew your brain cells until they glow in that area. To what extent must effort go? To what extent? Listen, I want you to wave laziness bye-bye. I want you to wave mediocrity bye. This is a challenge to someone in this first service. Wave laziness goodbye. Wave mediocrity goodbye. And tell yourself, I'm going to be among the top 5% globally in my generation in whatever I do. Top 5, I told myself that years ago, top 5% globally. To what extent must effort go? You should feel bad that you don't feel smart. Did you hear what I say? You can write it down. You should feel bad. You know, there's a feeling you have when you're a smart person. You should feel bad that you don't feel smart about life, about business, about enterprise, about your job, about your career. You should feel bad that you don't feel smart. And hang around places and materials that challenge you. Are you listening? Be academic about your trade. Be academic about your trade. You're a pastor. You should have read. You are an evangelist. You should have read. And you are 30 years old. You should have read nothing less than 30 books on evangelism. Nothing less than 30 books. You're a pastor and you are 25. You should have read nothing less than 25 books on church growth and pastoral ministry. To what extent must effort go? Hard work. Run your race. Be so focused. I say it's about the discipline of focus. Be so. Now you say, people do not. You say, I do not know. Is it John Cena? What do you call it? John Cena. Amen. I have an assignment. I have an assignment. The last time I watched wrestling, maybe I was in GS3 or SS1. I have an assignment. Am I planning to be a wrestler? Amen. I'm not trying to be a wrestler. If I mention who is Giuliano Maldonado, eh? Who is Silas Malafaias? Eh? Will you know? Who is Wilfredo de Jesus? You know that picture? Wilfredo de Jesus. Eh? Will you know? Who is Cesar Castellanos? Who is Ricardo Rodriguez? Are you listening? Who is Philip Mantofa? Those are the people I know. Those are the people I fellowship with. They shake their nations. They are puppet guys. Some of you are wondering, are there names of angels I'm calling? Silas Malafaias. Ricardo Rodriguez. Glory to God. That's my field. If you ask me about the move of God in South Africa, South America, I can give you most of the names I've called South America. Amen. If you come over to Africa, I can give you names. You go to Asia, Philip Mantova is in Asia, Indonesia. One of the young men is shaking Indonesia. Glory to God. Be academic about your trade. To what effort, to what extent must effort go? What is your own trade? You're a businessman. You must know what's obtainable there. I'm out of time. Rise to your feet with a shout. Praise God. Have you been blessed this morning? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. Father, we give you praise and we give you glory. Amen. We love you. We honor you, Lord. Can you just pray a prayer very briefly? And say, Father, in the name of Jesus.
We believe the word of God has begun a good work in you, making you a living, working wonder on the earth. For additional messages and information, log on to www.theembassyofheaven.org. God bless you.